going to do this. Ladies, if the sewing sisters, if you want to come up. Oh, there she is. Linda's here. Nikki's here too, right? Right. Isn't it a joy to have Nikki back with us? Amen. Oh, look, they're clapping for you. Yay, Nikki. We're gonna honor our graduates with two gifts. So whenever I say your name, if you come on up, after you get your gifts, then I'm gonna preach a little mini sermon. No, Pastor Bruce, we're in trouble. But anyways, it's certainly an honor and privilege for me to get to call your names and to be a part of this celebration to the graduates. Some of which I've taught since they were in like second or third grade, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I started off teaching children's church for our church, and so some of them have been under my teaching for a long time, and I'm sure they're more than excited to step away and hear another voice. It's been an honor and privilege to serve all of them, regardless of how long that I've known them, and to pour into their lives. And with no further ado, can we go ahead and have Pasquale come up here, please? All right. I'm thrown off by having to hold the microphone. There you go, sir. All right. And they have something for you over here. And then you got to stand up here. We got to have the whole group up here for a bit. So, all right, Zach, will you come on up, sir? Let's get out of here and get behind here. All right. Here you go, Zach. What's that? I hope it's spelled right on the Bible. So go over there and get your quilt. And I'm going to start quoting Bible verses on you. Complain about nothing. It's in Philippians. Right, have a thankful heart. All right, Colton, would you come on up, sir? All right, Colton, here you go. You're welcome. Ernie is not here. Jordan, if you come on up, sir. All right, Jordan, I think we got that spelled right. Oh, thanks. All right, Christy would come up. Congratulations. All right, Allie. All right, Allie. Congratulations, ma'am. And Shane. Come on up, Mr. Mesa. Congratulations, sir. You're welcome. Nice. Shane, I want to steal that, and Jordan, I want to burn yours. No. but congratulations, guys. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, and I'll give you a charge from God's word in a moment. I won't make you stand up here any longer, but let's give them a round of applause. Normally I preach this Sunday when our graduates, when we honor them. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that because my uncle passed away this week and wasn't sure whether I would be here or not. But God is sovereign and in control, and has what he wants you to hear from Pastor Bruce this morning. But I did want to read from Ezekiel, just kind of as a charge to our graduates, really, but a charge to all of us. We studied through the book of Ezekiel as a youth group, as a Sunday school class, this past summer and fall and winter and into the spring, I think. And so if you have your Bible, if you want to turn there, Ezekiel chapter 2, And so this is really the charge that Ezekiel gets. And so Ezekiel was a prophet to the nation of Israel, specifically to the captives taken from Babylon. I mean, from Jerusalem to Babylon. But this is a charge, and really this charge that he gets from God is really a charge to all of us. Let's read God's word together. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day." Now, I know we don't live in the nation of Israel, but we certainly live in a rebellious nation, right? So just think about how this really connects with us and who we are as Christians. Verse 4 says, "For they are impudent and stubborn children, and I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." And the context there is God was depositing within Ezekiel his words. And so really, I don't think there's much explanation that needs to come from that. I think that's a place in our Bibles that we could mark and we could read again and again and again, as God has given us a charge as his people to speak the word of truth to those around us, and to speak it because we love him and we love those around us. So that's my charge specifically to those of you who are graduating, but really I think that's God's charge to all of us. Amen.
All right, our brother's going to translate for us.
Hola, soy Julio.
All right, I love this. Well, thank you, Scott. Scott was supposed to preach today, but again, as he said, there were some questions about whether he could be here or not. So I said, I'll just take it today. But thank you, brother. So the title of the message today is Things That God Wants a Graduate to Know.
Entonces, el tema de nuestra predicación ahora es cosas que Dios quiere que un graduado sepa.
I was really kind of questioning in my mind what would be best to say today.
Me pasé un par de días pensando qué es lo que Dios quería decir ahora.
And we won't get through all of this, but I want to give you some points as far as we can go today anyway.
Y pues puede que no nos terminemos todo, pero quiero darles unos puntos ahora.
As I was thinking about what to say this morning, I was beginning to look into my own mind and remember the things that God has taught me over the years.
Mientras pensaba qué decir ahora, yo recordé las cosas que Dios me ha enseñado durante mi vida.
And I was thinking about how, as a graduate, entering into a world like it is today, what are some of the things that would be most pertinent from him?
Y pensé acerca de cómo un graduado entrando al mundo de ahora, qué cosas serían importantes que Dios quiere que sepan para ellos.
I don't think you're going to hear anything profound or too challenging.
No creo que escuches nada muy profundo o demasiado difícil.
But I hope you'll hear some things that are good reminders.
Pero espero que escuchen cosas que son buenos recordatorios.
And if you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see the listing there.
Si miran en la parte de atrás de su boletín, pueden ver una lista ahí.
So let's just pick up with the first one here, and that is, number one to remember is that God loves you.
Entonces, si miran el primero, es que hay que recordar que Dios te ama.
I just want you to let that sink in for just a minute.
Solo quiero dejarlos pensar en eso.
You may be here today looking on your life and saying, "I'm not always confident that God loves me."
Tal vez tú miras en tu vida y no estás seguro si Dios te ama.
And that's why you need to remember that number one.
Y es por eso que tienes que recordar ese número uno.
No matter who you are or where you have been or what you have done, God loves you.
No importa quién eres, dónde has estado, lo que has hecho, Dios te ama.
You can't ever forget that.
Nunca olvides.
I like to think of it like this, that Satan will eat your lunch if you forget that.
Piénsalo así como, Dios, perdón, Satanás se va a comer tu almuerzo si te olvidas de esto.
In Jeremiah 31:3, and this is Old Testament, but in Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "The Lord appeared to him, to Jeremiah, from afar, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness.'"
En Jeremías 31:3 dice, Jehová se le apareció desde lejos diciendo, "Te he amado con amor eterno, por eso te he atraído con misericordia."
Now what Jeremiah is being reminded of to Israel is that they were once under captivity and now are under captivity again.
Lo que Jeremías está recordándoles es que Dios,
captivity, they were under captivity and are now under captivity again.
Okay. Lo que Jeremías está recordándoles es que Israel estaba bajo captividad primero y luego estuvieron bajo captividad otra vez.
In other words, life was really challenging.
En otras palabras, la vida estaba muy complicada.
And Jeremiah is sent by God to remind them of his love.
Entonces, Jeremías, quiso recordarles del amor de Dios.
But what's exciting is that same love holds true for you and me.
Y lo que nos emociona es que ese amor es de la misma forma para nosotros.
I think we all are familiar with John 3:16.
Creo que todos recordamos a Juan 3:16.
For God so loved the world.
Porque Dios de tal manera amó Dios al mundo.
I mean, think about that. God loved the world.
Dios amó al mundo.
And he demonstrated that love.
Y él no dejaba de amarnos.
By giving his only begotten son.
Y él mandó a su hijo a morir por nosotros.
And there are other passages of scripture like 2 Thessalonians 2:16.
Y el segundo es a 2 Tesalonicenses 2:16.
Where the apostle Paul says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father who has loved us."
Donde dice, ahora nuestro Señor Jesucristo mismo y Dios nuestro Padre, quien nos amó y nos dio consuelo eterno y buena esperanza por gracia.
In 1 John chapter 4, "In this is love, not that we loved God," listen to this carefully, "but that he loved us."
Dice, y 1 Juan 4:10, "En esto consiste el amor, no porque nosotros hayamos amado a Dios, sino porque él nos amó."
Don't ever forget, number one, as you're entering into the world to live life on your own, that God loves you.
Nunca olvides mientras estás en el mundo de que Dios te ama.
If you forget that God loves you, you will have dire circumstances.
Si te olvidas que Dios te ama, tu vida va a ponerse un poco más difícil.
Here's the second thing. Keep him first, or the consequences will be catastrophic.
Y el segundo es manténlo el primero, o las consecuencias serán catastróficas.
In Exodus, back when Moses was being given the law, he wrote from God, Ten Commandments.
Cuando Moisés estaba escribiendo las leyes, él escribió los 10 mandamientos que él recibió de Dios.
And you remember this well. In verse 3 of chapter 20, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or anything like it, which is in heaven above or on earth beneath in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God."
Éxodo 20:3-6. Si recordamos que él dice, "No tendrás dioses ajenos delante de mí. No tendrás ídolo ni ninguna semejanza de lo que está arriba en el cielo, ni abajo en la tierra, ni en las aguas debajo de ella. No los adorarás ni los servirás, porque yo, el Señor tu Dios, soy un Dios celoso."
I'm bringing this up because the world's going to do everything it can to try to cause you to compromise your faith.
Menciono esto porque el mundo te intentará hacer que comprometas tu fe en Jesús.
We've said many times before that the world doesn't care about what we do inside the building.
Y lo hemos dicho muchas veces, el mundo no le importa lo que hacemos aquí adentro.
But the world really cares a lot when we take Jesus out on the street.
Pero el mundo realmente le importa cuando tomamos a Jesús y lo llevamos a las calles.
Some of you all have heard this, but last Monday was the VFW memorial service in Earlysville.
Algunos de ustedes saben, pero había un servicio conmemorativo en Earlysville el lunes.
And I was asked this year to do the invocation to begin the service.
Y yo fui pedido que hiciera la invocación para empezar el servicio.
And I did what I always do, is I got up and I asked God's blessings. I talked about Jesus for a second in my prayer, and then I prayed in Jesus' name.
Y yo hice lo que siempre hago, me levanto, comparto la palabra de Dios, y oro en nombre de Jesús.
Well, immediately after the service, which was about 35 minutes long, 40 minutes, a couple came up to me and said, that greatly offended me.
Y luego del servicio, que dura como 35 minutos, una pareja vino a mí y me dijeron que estaban extremadamente ofendidos.
The woman said, we are not all Christians here, and I don't want to hear that, and that just really offended me. You should not do that.
Entonces dice, no todos somos cristianos aquí, entonces no debería ser eso, realmente me ofende.
So I just smiled at her, and I said, well, they don't have to invite me back.
Entonces yo sonreí y le dije, pues no me tienen que agradar.
In other words, I was telling her, I'm not going to change that.
Entonces yo le estaba diciendo, yo no voy a cambiar.
And I said to her, I'm commanded by the scriptures to pray in Jesus' name. And she looked at me and said, really?
Y ella me vio y me dice, ¿en serio?
And she was really shocked.
Y estaba muy sorprendida.
I said, yeah, absolutely.
Sí,
and so I said, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name.
Yo le dije, voy a orar en el nombre de Jesús.
It was really exciting, though, because evidently a man heard all of that going on and came up to me right when she was saying that and said, I just want to thank you for praying in Jesus' name.
It's really awesome.
But here's the best part. She looked at him and went, really? Because I just said I hated him. I was offended that he had prayed in Jesus' name.
Y en serio, ella volteó a ver a otra persona y dije, ¿en serio? Porque yo estoy diciendo que yo estaba ofendido acerca de esto.
The scripture commands us to pray in Jesus' name.
La Biblia nos manda a orar en el nombre de Jesús.
I'll just give you one, Colossians 3:17.
Les voy a dar una, Colosenses 3:16.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians 3:17.
Dice, lo que sea que hagas en palabra o hecho, hazlo todo en el nombre del Señor Jesús, dando gracias a través de él, Dios el Padre.
If you notice back in the text of Exodus that we looked at a second ago,
si miran en el libro de Éxodo que vimos hace un par de minutos,
notice what the Lord says. He says, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me.
Si notan, dice, porque yo, el Señor, tu Dios, un Dios celoso, visitando la iniquidad de los padres sobre los hijos, en la tercera y cuarta generación de los que me odian.
What's important is that as a graduate, you remember that everything in your life is focused and centered on Jesus.
Lo más importante es que como un graduado te enfoques en hacer todo en el nombre de Jesús.
If you forget that, one of two things are going to happen.
Si te olvidas, una de dos cosas van a pasar.
It could be that you spend eternity in hell.
Puede ser que pases la eternidad en el infierno.
Now that means you were never a believer in the first place.
Y eso significa que nunca fuiste un creador realmente.
God's children never go to hell.
Sí, los hijos de Dios nunca van al infierno.
But it also could be that God will serve some serious discipline.
O también puede ser que Dios te mande una disciplina seria.
And we'll talk about his grace in just a few minutes.
Y vamos a hablar de su gracia en unos minutos.
But God was serious with Israel.
Pero Dios was serio con Israel.
And God is serious with us.
Y Dios es serio con nosotros.
You will be tempted greatly to push Jesus away from your life in the public arena.
Ustedes van a ser tentados muchas veces de empujar a Dios lejos en el ojo público.
And as a church, we just want to encourage you not to let that happen.
Y como la iglesia, solo queremos animarte a que no dejes que eso suceda.
If you go on to other schools of learning,
si vas a otras escuelas para aprender,
you're going to be tempted to push Jesus away.
Va a ser tentado a empujar a Dios away.
You go into the workforce, you're going to be tempted to push Jesus away.
Vas a trabajar, vas a ser tentado.
You're going to be looked at as the weird one.
Te van a ver como el raro.
As far as that lady was concerned, on Monday I had three heads.
Así como le importa esa señora, ella creía que yo tenía tres cabezas.
But let me tell you, you know what was so encouraging to me?
Pero ¿sabes qué es lo que me motiva?
I was so confident in Jesus.
Yo tenía mucha confianza en Jesús.
I was kind of mad that I didn't defend more.
Estuve un poco molesto que no defendí un poco más.
But what a joy to be able to just smile at her and look at her and say, you know what? I'm sorry.
Pero qué alegría de poder solo verla y decir, lo siento.
She wanted me to change, you
say. Ella quería que yo cambiara.
But we don't need to change.
Pero nosotros no necesitamos cambiar.
Because he's the Lord.
Porque él es el Señor.
Let's look at a third thing here.
Veamos una cosa tercera.
I think it's imperative to remember that all things belong to him, not you.
Es muy importante recordar que todas las cosas le pertenecen a él y no a ti.
Let's look at just a couple passages of scripture here. 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains.
Este primera de Corintios 10:26 dice, porque la tierra es del Señor y todo lo que contiene.
What Paul's doing is he's quoting from a couple verses in Psalm 24 and Psalm 89.
Lo que Pedro está haciendo es tomar una cita de Salmos 24 y Salmos 89.
And listen, where this becomes important is that you just received or will soon receive a diploma talking about how smart you are.
Pronto vas a recibir un diploma que habla acerca de cuán inteligente eres.
You know, diplomas are designed to help us to realize that we're growing and we're maturing.
Los diplomas están hechos para ayudarnos a darnos cuenta de cuánto estamos creciendo y madurando.
But God wants you to remember that he owns all things, including your brain.
Pero el Señor quiere que recordemos que a Él le pertenecen todas las cosas, incluyendo tu cerebro.
The temptation is going to be to think that I've done a lot of work, I've put a lot of energy into this, this is mine.
La tentación va a ser que tú vas a pensar, yo he trabajado muy duro, puse mucho empeño, esto es mío.
You're going to remember the very intelligent minds that poured their understanding and their knowledge into your mind.
Vas a recordar a aquellos profesores que pusieron todo su conocimiento y te lo pasaron a ti.
And you're going to be tempted to start thinking that God is just a figment of the imagination or a fairy tale.
Y te vas a sentir tentado a creer que Dios es solamente producto de la imaginación.
Our world always tells us that that's just for the weak of mind and weak of heart, this Christianity.
El mundo nos dice que ser cristiano es para aquellos que son débiles.
You will be greater served and greater blessed by remembering it was God who gave you your mind.
Te saldría mejor y vas a ser mucho más bendecido si recuerdas que fue el Señor el que te ha traído hasta aquí.
He gave you your abilities, your talents, your possessions, everything belongs to him.
Él te dio todas tus habilidades, tus posesiones, todo.
Galatians chapter 6 verse 3 says, and this is Paul writing to the churches, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Corintios 3:18 dice, ninguno se engaña a sí mismo. Si alguno de ustedes piensa que es sabio en esta era, debo volverse necio.
I think it's critical, our dear graduates, that you remember that everything that you have achieved was not by your power alone.
Es importante que recuerden que todo lo que has hecho no ha sido por tu propio esfuerzo.
It's by God's power.
Es por el poder de Dios.
God gave you the ability to get that diploma.
Dios te dio la habilidad para conseguir ese diploma.
So why would you ever want to deny him of that honor?
Entonces, ¿por qué querrías quitarle el honor a él?
And I'll tell you, the mind begins to adopt that kind of thinking, or the kind of thinking that pushes God out.
Y déjame decirte, la mente toma ese pensamiento de querer empujar a Dios.
Some years ago, there was a man that I dearly loved. His name was Dr. Mills. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he had an eye problem at one point.
Me recuerda de un hermano, se llamaba Phil. Y él tenía un problema en el ojo.
He had an eye problem.
Tenía un problema en el ojo.
And so he came up here from Lynchburg to UVA and saw one of the most noted authorities on eye surgery that there is in the country.
Entonces él vino de Lynchburg aquí a UVA y a buscar a una de las personas más especialistas en ojos.
And his wife, Dr. Mills' wife, was a great evangelist, and so she would witness to everybody that she came in contact with.
Entonces, y su esposa era una gran evangelista, y ella había sido testigo de muchas cosas.
She was a little bitty woman about the size of Jude Rodrigo's wife.
Ella era una mujer muy chiquitilla.
But boy, she was powerful in her delivery of the gospel.
Pero ella era muy fuerte en cómo ella presentaba la palabra de Dios.
And I never forget when she was sitting there talking to the eye doctor, she was thanking him for his skill and his wisdom.
Y ella se sentó allí y le estaba agradeciendo al doctor por toda su habilidad y todo su esfuerzo.
And she said that I'm just so thankful that God has blessed you with such a wonderful mind.
Entonces ella le dijo, estoy muy agradecida que Dios te ha bendecido con una mente tan grande.
And I guess he had had too much, and so he put up his hand and he said, no God gave me anything. I earned all of this.
Entonces él tuvo suficiente y puso su mano arriba y dijo, no, no más, ningún Dios me ha dado nada a mí.
I guess the simple point is that if you forget that God is the one who's given you what you have, there are going to be a lot of problems.
El punto es que recordar que si no reconoces que ha sido Dios quien te ha dado las cosas, vas a estar en problemas.
This next point, number four, is really for all of us because it fits all of us. Never worry about your future. He has a plan.
Y el segundo punto, siguiente punto es importante para todos nosotros. Y es que no te preocupes por tu futuro. Él tiene un plan.
There's not one of us in this room that doesn't understand what it means to worry about our lives.
No hay ni uno solo de nosotros que no sepa qué significa preocuparse por nuestras vidas.
Let me read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25 through 34, a very familiar passage on this subject of worry.
Voy a leer en el libro de Mateo, en un pasaje 6, 25 al 34, que habla mucho acerca de preocuparse.
From Jesus, he says, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you'll drink, not for your body, as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil or spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, and that's just a reference to unbelievers, eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Entonces Mateo dice, por lo cual te digo que no te preocupes por tu vida, ni por lo que comerás, ni por lo que beberás, ni por tu cuerpo, ni por lo que pondrás. ¿No es la vida que la comida y el cuerpo más que el vestido? Mira las aves del cielo que no siembran, ni siegan, ni recogen en los graneros, y sin embargo tu Padre Celestial las alimenta. ¿No vales mucho más que ellos? ¿Y quién de vosotros, estando preocupado, puede ganar una sola hora a su vida? ¿Y por qué te preocupas por la ropa? Observe cómo crecen los lirios del campo. No trabajan ni hilan, pero los digo que ni siquiera Salomón en toda su gloria se vistió como uno de estos. Pero si Dios viste así la hierba del campo, que hoy está viva y mañana está echada en el horno, ¿no te vestirá mucho más? Tú de poca fe. No te preocupes entonces diciendo, ¿qué harás? ¿Qué comemos? ¿O qué vamos a beber? ¿O qué vestiremos para la ropa? Porque los gentiles buscan ansiamente todas estas cosas, porque tu Padre Celestial sabe que necesitas todas estas cosas. Pero busca primero su reino y su justicia, y todas estas cosas te serán añadidas. Así que no te preocupes por el mañana, porque mañana se cuidará a sí mismo. Cada día tiene suficientes problemas propios.
That's a good passage to remember.
Ese es un gran mensaje que recordar.
You know what I don't hear Jesus saying in there?
¿Sabes que no escucho al Señor decir ahí?
I forgot about that thing you had going on.
Se me olvidó esta cosa que tenías.
I can't believe I skipped that.
No puedo creer que me lo salté.
Don't we kind of respond to him that way with life events?
¿Acaso no le respondemos nosotros así con cosas de la vida?
Kind of like, but Lord, you just missed this one area right here.
Decimos, Señor, tú te olvidaste de esta parte aquí.
But that's not what the text is saying here. God knows everything.
Pero eso no es lo que la Biblia nos dice. Ella nos dice que Dios sabe todo.
And he's saying there is nothing you have to worry about.
Y él nos dice, no hay nada de que debas preocuparte.
You know, as we face our culture today, we look into the world and we say, am I going to have a job? Am I going to have retirement? Am I going to have a house to live in?
Y entonces ahora vemos a nuestra vida y estamos como, tendré una casa, tendré que comer, tendré un trabajo.
But what I hear the Lord saying is, I've already got that taken care of.
Pero lo que yo escucho es el Señor decirme, yo ya tomé control de eso.
It may not be what you look for, but it'll be enough to get you through.
Tal vez no sea lo que tú estás pensando, pero te será suficiente para que tú puedas continuar.
The temptation is going to come when you start thinking that you need to do things your own way to cover your own worry.
La tentación va a venir cuando quieras creer que tienes que hacer las cosas de tu propia forma.
And what's going to happen is you will start trusting in your own abilities.
Y vas a empezar a confiar en tus propias habilidades.
You're going to start seeking for answers that are not from God.
Y vas a empezar a buscar respuestas que no vienen de Dios.
Because you're going to want to know before just to satisfy yourselves and get rid of whatever feelings you have.
Y vas a empezar a buscar cosas para deshacerte de lo que tú sientes.
And here's what's going to happen. If you live like that, you're going to be tempted to take jobs that God doesn't want you to have.
Si empiezas a vivir así, vas a tomar trabajos que Dios no quiere que tengas.
You're going to be tempted to move to cities that God doesn't want you living in.
Vas a empezar a mudarte a ciudades donde Dios no quiere que estés.
You're going to be tempted to marry somebody that God may not want you to be married to.
Vas a estar tentado a casarte con alguien que Dios no quiere que cases.
And basically, you're going to end up spending your energy on things that are not helpful for you.
Y vas a empezar a gastar tu energía en cosas que no te van a ayudar.
Because God has said, I've got all of that covered.
Porque el Señor ha dicho, tengo todo esto cubierto.
Be wise.
Sé sabio.
Seek me and follow me.
Búscame, sígueme.
But you need to stay with me.
Pero tienes que estar conmigo.
Trust in Him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. This is really challenging. It's very simple, but it's also very profound.
Este Proverbios 3:5 dice, confía en el Señor con todo tu corazón y no te apoyes en tu propio entendimiento, lo cual es difícil, pero es muy importante.
Verse 6 says, in all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight.
El verso 6 dice, reconócelo en todos tus caminos y Él enderezará tus caminos.
But He doesn't stop there. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes.
Pero no termina ahí. Verso 7 dice, no seas sabios en tus propios ojos.
Fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
Teme al Señor y aléjate del mal.
So simple in this passage is that God is saying, look, I know your needs. Stop worrying.
Es muy simple que el Señor dice, yo sé lo que necesitas. Deja de preocuparte.
Every time we take up the mantle of worry, we begin to create problems for ourselves.
Cada vez que empezamos a preocuparnos, creamos problemas para nosotros mismos.
Don't fight the Lord for what He's doing.
No pelees con el Señor por lo que Él está haciendo.
And go live your life and be blessed.
Y vive tu vida, sé bendito.
I mean, some of you right now, God is going to call into ministry.
Si algunos de ustedes, el Señor los va a llamar en el ministerio.
Potentially.
Potencialmente.
And you're saying, I'm not doing that.
Y tú dirás, no.
Well, that's what you think, right? I mean, God's going to put you in some areas of life that you're not planning on right now. But that's going to be His will and His decision.
Sí, entonces vas a estar en cosas que tal vez tú no, con las que no estés de acuerdo, pero esa es su decisión.
I guess simply we would say is don't be so rigid and inflexible that you don't allow God to do in your life what He really wants to do.
El punto es, no seas tan rígido o inflexible que no dejas que el Señor haga contigo lo que Él tiene planeado para ti.
Just simply say, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll be whatever you want me to be.
Simplemente di, Señor, haré lo que tú quieras que haga e iré a donde tú quieras que vaya.
And not only will you be blessed externally, I'm not talking about with money and possessions, but you'll be blessed because God will honor you in the community.
Y tú serás mucho más bendecido. Y no me refiero a dinero o esas cosas, simplemente que serás bendecido en frente de la comunidad.
Because you're honoring Him.
Porque lo estás honorando a Él.
Okay, let's look at a fifth one here. Again, I told you we won't get to all of these, but we'll just keep going for a few more minutes. Don't neglect the church or church life.
El quinto dice, no te descuides de la iglesia o la vida de la iglesia.
This is really, really critical.
Esto es muy, muy importante.
One of the greatest temptations you're going to have upon you is to give up the church.
Porque la tentación más grande que vas a tener en tu vida es dejar de asistir a la iglesia.
Do you know how many young people grow up, even in Christian schools, that don't have anything to do with the church anymore?
¿Sabes cuánta gente joven crece que fueron a escuelas cristianas que ya no tienen nada que ver con la iglesia ahora?
How many people, we could just list them in our minds, people that you know, people that I know, that have grown up in the church but get to a place in life where they just give it up?
¿Cuánta gente podemos listar que conocemos todos nosotros que simplemente ya no están en la iglesia?
That's going to be a terrible temptation from Satan on you.
Va a ser una terrible tentación que te va a llegar.
Or if nothing else, it's going to be a temptation to find a church that may not necessarily be preaching the Bible.
O puede tal vez simplemente sea una tentación de ir a alguna iglesia donde ya no, simplemente no, no prediquen entre la Biblia.
You have to remember that the church was the place that God established to live life together.
El Señor fundó la iglesia como un lugar donde podíamos venir juntos.
I mean, everybody wants a sense of connection and togetherness.
Todo el mundo quiere sentirse conectado y unión.
And God created the church for that place, to be that place.
Y el Señor creó la iglesia para ser ese lugar.
Again, it's where we find connection with other believers.
Es donde nos conectamos con otros creadores.
It's where we can share our gifts and our talents with one another.
Es donde podemos compartir nuestras habilidades con otros.
It's where we experience grace and mercy.
Es donde experimentamos su gracia y su misericordia.
It's a beautiful place, and the church needs to be a part of your life.
Es un lugar hermoso que necesita ser parte de tu vida.
Listen, Jesus believed that the church was important enough to die for.
Jesús creyó que la iglesia era suficientemente importante para morir por ella.
Now, if our Lord died for the church, don't you think it has some importance for our lives?
Si nuestro Dios murió por la iglesia, ¿no crees que es importante nuestras vidas también?
You should be able to live your whole life thinking, I would never want to be a part of the church. Not a part of the church. Apart from the church, I should say.
Tú deberías vivir tu vida pensando, no puedo imaginarme no ser una parte de la iglesia.
And I understand the problems that the church has. Often she's not real pretty.
Yo entiendo los problemas que la iglesia tiene. Muchas veces no es bonito.
I mean, often the church is pretty ugly.
La mayoría del tiempo, muy seguido la iglesia no es bonita.
Often the church is tempted by the world to become pretty fleshly.
La iglesia es tentada por el mundo de convertirse un poco.
But the role that you have in life from God will be to be the church, holy and pure.
Pero, sorry.
Kind of hard to translate that, isn't it? To be holy, to be a part of the church that's holy and pure.
Entonces, pero el Señor quiere que seas parte de una iglesia que es santa y pura.
All right, let's look at another one, number 6. Family is a good thing.
Luego veamos el número 6. La familia es algo bueno.
You remember in the beginning, way back in Genesis, God created the family as his first institution.
Cuando empezamos, vamos al principio de la Biblia, en Génesis, Dios creó la familia como la primera como institución.
I mean, right after he made man, and by the way, this is before the fall, right after he made man, he created the family. Right after he created the world, he made family.
Justo después de que Dios creó el mundo y al hombre, Él creó la familia.
You remember in the garden, He said it's not good that man's alone. And so He created the woman, brought her to Him, and they began their family.
Entonces en el jardín, Dios dijo que no era bueno que el hombre fuera solo. Entonces Él hizo una mujer y la trajo al hombre.
And we understand that this is why Satan is doing everything he can to destroy the family.
Y es por eso que Satanás hace todo lo que puede por deshacerse de la familia.
He's working overtime to do that. You're tempted with that all the time, even in your own families.
Está trabajando tiempo extra tratando de deshacer las familias.
Satan tempts you in a godly home to be angry with your parents, for parents to be angry with you, to have frustrations all the time with each other.
Él te tenta a que estés enojado con tus padres, que tus padres estén enojados contigo, que haya tensión en la familia.
You know, there are some people that are called to a life of singleness, but not many. There are very few. Most are not.
Hay algunos que sí están llamados a vivir la vida solteros. Son pocos.
I hope that you realize that the hope for your future is not in politics, it's not in the jobs, it's not in the insurance market.
Espero que te des cuenta que tu futuro no está dependiendo de las políticas, de tu trabajo, o de qué aseguranza tienes.
The hope for the world is in the family.
La esperanza del mundo está en la familia.
Now, I'm not talking about leaving Jesus out, of course, you understand that, but I'm talking about the family is the primary tool that God has established to make a world and a society what it should be.
Y no estoy diciendo que te olvides de Dios, sino que la familia es la herramienta que Dios nos ha dado.
I guess what I'm really saying is don't be afraid to find somebody and get married.
Lo que estoy diciendo es no tengas miedo de encontrar a alguien y casarte.
I mean, let's just put it out there. I mean, get married and have children. I mean, you know, I'm kind of amazed at how long people are waiting to get married.
Me sorprende cuánto la gente está esperando para casarse.
Well, you know where that comes from?
¿Sabes de dónde viene?
It comes with a part of a society that has everything.
Viene de la parte de la sociedad que tiene todo.
And if I hold on just a little bit longer, I'll find a better deal.
Si espero solo un poquito más, encontraré algo mejor.
I mean, that's where it comes from.
¿Es de dónde viene?
We've got to get past the thinking that the world pushes on us and find somebody who's a godly person and marry him.
Son las cosas que el mundo nos empuja, pero debemos encontrar a alguien que el Señor quiere para nosotros y casarnos.
And start having children.
Y tener hijos.
And you say, why?
Dicen, ¿por qué?
Because from godly men and women come godly children.
Porque de hijos de Dios vienen hijos.
And as those godly children are growing up in a godly home, they go out into society after they've gotten their high school diploma or their college diploma, and they make a godly society.
Y entonces, de los hijos que crecen, ellos crecen, se casan con otras personas que son hijos de Dios, y luego tienen más hijos que salen a la iglesia.
So if you're Satan, you're going to say, I know what I'll do. I'll destroy the family.
Entonces, si eres Satanás, él sabe qué hacer. Destruiría la familia.
Because where there are no families, there is no more God, and the world can be taken over.
Porque si no hay familias, entonces no hay Dios, y entonces el mundo puede ser tomado.
Have a family.
Tengo una familia.
Here's number 7.
Es el número 7.
Work is honorable.
El trabajo es honorable.
Do you know who the first one was to work?
¿Sabes quién fue el primero en trabajar?
It was God. In fact, he made everything. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. The seventh day, God completed his what? His work. You know what you don't hear out of that? Oh my gosh, I got to create this world. It's Monday morning.
It's lunes en la mañana.
I got to make something.
Debo hacer algo.
You don't hear that, do you?
Tú no haces eso, ¿verdad?
Why? Because work is honorable.
¿Por qué? Porque trabajar es honorable.
And I understand that man distorted it all.
Ahora yo sé que el hombre
sin did that. But work is honorable. God works. We should not wake up in the morning as Christians and say, oh gosh,
si no,
I got to go to work.
En la mañana y decir, oh, Señor, tengo que ir a trabajar.
People just hate work. You know, the Monday morning grind, oh, I'll be okay once I get my coffee. All that kind of stuff, and I get that, all that understanding. But the reality is that work should be to the Christian an honorable thing.
Entonces, si tú te levantas en la mañana y estás los lunes y estás, estaré bien cuando termine, tome mi café. Pero no debería ser así. O sea, como hombres cristianos deberíamos estar honorados de tener trabajo.
And because work is honorable, it should be done well.
Y porque el trabajo es honorario, deberíamos hacerlo bien.
And I'm talking about all the days of your life.
En todas las cosas de nuestra vida.
You should wake up in the morning when you get your job and you should say, I get to go to work today.
Entonces deberías despertar cada mañana y decir, okay, puedo ir a trabajar ahora.
That's true.
Es verdad.
Nobody should need to motivate a Christian to go to work.
Nadie debería motivar a un cristiano a ir a trabajar.
Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't change jobs every now and then, but nobody should have to motivate you to get up to go to work.
Y no estoy diciendo que no deberías de cambiar de trabajos algunas veces, pero no debería necesidad que alguien te motive a ir.
In fact, aren't you kind of glad God's at work right now?
Incluso no te motiva, no estás alegre que Dios está trabajando ahora.
It's kind of nice that God doesn't complain about providing the oxygen, isn't it?
Es bueno que Dios no se queja de proveernos con oxígeno.
I mean, we're all just complaining about the rain, but it's kind of nice to have it.
Estamos quejándonos de la lluvia, pero es
nice to have the sunshine still shining. I mean, you get the point? I mean, God works because he ordained work. And so we should be good at our work.
Entonces, Dios trabaja porque él ordenó el trabajo, entonces nosotros deberíamos trabajar también.
Now, I'm also not saying you shouldn't retire.
Tampoco no estoy diciendo que no te debes retirar.
But I am saying this.
Pero estoy diciendo esto.
Retirement shouldn't be your focus.
Retirarte no debería ser tu enfoque.
Retirement should be just another means to finish this part of my life to go into the next part of my life.
Retiro debería ser solo una forma donde te mueves de una parte de tu vida a otra.
I think when we retire, we should be able to say, you know what, now I've got more time to serve the Lord.
Cuando te retires, tú debes decir, bueno, ahora tengo más tiempo para servir al Señor.
You know, the world is in desperate need for people to work honorably.
Entonces, el mundo está en necesidad desesperada de gente que trabaje.
And you can do that as a new generation hitting the workforce.
Y tú puedes hacer como esto, como una nueva generación entrando a la fuerza de trabajo.
Every day going in and saying, man, I love this day.
Cada día ir y decir, cuánto amo este día.
I mean, listen, we've got a church that we're a part of, right? Now we understand that, where I can share my life with. I've got a God who loves me, right? I've got a God who's told me not to worry about anything and to provide all your needs. So I'm going to go to work with a whistle in my lips.
Entonces, piensa de esta forma. Tengo, sé que el Señor me ama. Tengo una iglesia donde ir y compartir. Tengo un Dios que me dice que no me preocupe. Entonces, solo voy a trabajar y ir contento.
All right, if we're not careful, we might be able to finish this. Let's go to number 8.
Si no tengo cuidado, vamos a poder terminar esto. Vamos a movernos al número 8.
This one was a big one for me because I think it touches us in a lot of ways.
Es importante para mí porque siento que nos toca en muchas formas.
Success is measured by God, not you or anything else.
El éxito lo mide Dios, no usted o cualquier otra cosa.
Let me just go back into the scripture for a minute and talk about a couple people. You remember King Saul, who was the king of Israel?
Déjeme regresar a la Biblia. ¿Se acuerdan del rey Saúl que recibió el reino de Israel por Dios?
Israel wanted a king because the rest of the world had a king.
Israel quería un rey porque el resto del mundo tenía un rey.
You see that picture already formulating in their mind? They wanted to be like the world.
Ven esa imagen que se está creando. Ellos querían ser como el resto del mundo.
And so God said through Samuel, okay, give him a king.
Entonces el Señor dijo a través de Samuel, okay, tengan un rey.
And there you go. Here's your king.
Y aquí está. Aquí está tu rey.
But what we learned pretty quickly is that Saul wasn't a great king.
Y lo que aprendimos muy pronto fue que Saúl no fue un buen rey.
He had a lot of insecurities.
Él tenía muchas inseguridades.
He had a lot of issues.
Tenía muchos problemas.
And he eventually led the people in a wrong way.
Y eventualmente él llevó a la gente a la lugar equivocado.
To the point where he felt like he could touch God instead of going through the prophet.
Y al punto que él creyó que él podía tocar a Dios en lugar de ir por el profeta.
And God finally said, okay, Saul, you're done.
Y entonces finalmente el Señor dijo, okay, ya terminaste.
And he anointed a new king.
Y entonces él nombró un nuevo rey.
But this new king was known to no one.
Pero este rey no era conocido por nadie.
In fact, when Samuel was told by God to go to Jesse's house to look for a new king, the new king wasn't even recognized at first.
Entonces, cuando Dios le dijo a Samuel que fuera a la casa de Josué a encontrar un nuevo rey, el rey ni siquiera fue reconocido.
Remember, Jesse brought all of the choicest of the boys out in front of Samuel?
Recuerda que Josué trajo todas las opciones en frente de Samuel.
I mean, in Jesse's mind, he's thinking, surely this son is going to be fit for the king. Look at him.
En serio, claro, dijo, claro, alguno de estos va a ser apropiado para ser rey. Míralos.
I mean, these boys are successful.
Estos hombres son exitosos.
And God through Samuel's mind saying, nope, none of those.
Y el Señor dijo, no, ninguno de esos.
And I can almost picture this in my mind as Samuel scratches his head and says, do you have anybody else?
Y me imagino esto, Samuel rascándose la cabeza como, ¿tienes alguien más?
And Samuel, well, Jesse says, yeah, I've got this one little red-headed kid back in the back tending some of the sheep.
Y entonces Josué dice, sí, tengo el pelirrojo que está ayudando con las...
Samuel says, go get him.
Y Samuel dice, ve a traerlo.
As soon as he walks in, Samuel says, he's the guy.
Tan pronto como él entra, Samuel dice, él es el elegido.
What did God see in David?
Entonces, ¿qué es lo que él vio en David?
A young man with no real measurable abilities.
Un hombre que no realmente tenía habilidades mesurables.
I guess his only claim to fame was that he could sling a sling pretty well.
Creo que la única cosa que él podía usar una...
But beyond that, his outward appearance was really nothing.
Que, pues, para, si lo miramos, realmente no era mucho.
Samuel said this, or God said this through Samuel, don't look at his outward appearance or at his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Entonces Samuel, Dios dice, no mires a su apariencia ni a la altura de su estatura, porque lo he rechazado. Porque Dios no ve lo que el hombre ve, porque el hombre mira la apariencia exterior, pero el Señor parece en el corazón.
You know why God used David?
¿Sabes qué dijo él?
Because God knew his heart.
Porque Dios conoció su corazón.
And that's all God needed.
Y es todo lo que Dios necesitaba.
What am I saying? God needs your heart. That's what he really wants.
Lo que está diciendo, Dios necesita tu corazón. Es lo que realmente quiere.
It's not important about where you go or what you do or what you look like.
No importa qué haces, a dónde vas o cómo te miras.
Your success will not be determined by any of those things.
Tu éxito no va a ser medido por nada de eso.
It's not going to be measured by your achievements.
No va a ser medido por lo que logres.
And all of those are well and good, and they should be worked on throughout life, but that's not what God is looking for.
Y claro, todo eso es bueno, debes trabajar sobre esto en tu vida, pero no es lo que Dios quiere.
God wants your heart.
Dios quiere tu corazón.
Now listen, He wants your heart.
Ahora escucha, Él quiere tu corazón.
That's what God wants.
Es lo que Dios quiere.
The God of the universe is able to mold a man or a woman into the person He wants them to be when He has their heart.
Y si Dios puede tomar a un hombre o una mujer y moldarlos como Él quiere cuando Él tiene su corazón.
Because you know what real success is?
Porque sabes lo que éxito real es.
It's when the Lord God Himself looks at His child and says this, Do you love me with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your soul?
El éxito es cuando Dios puede mirar a su hijo y preguntar, ¿Me amas con todo corazón, con todo tu ser, con toda tu alma?
Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself?
¿Amas a tu vecino con todo tu corazón?
You know what He's going to say?
¿Sabes qué Él va a decir?
Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Buen trabajo.
Enter into the kingdom that's prepared for you.
Entra al reino que está preparado para ti.
That's what you want to measure success off of.
Eso es como quieres medir tu éxito.
You want to measure success on where your heart is with God.
Debes medir tu éxito en donde tu corazón está con el Señor.
Okay, number nine.
Okay, número nueve.
This is a little hard for all of us to swallow.
Es un poco difícil de admitir esto.
But it's true nonetheless. Growing old is a blessing.
Pero es una realidad. Envejecer es una bendición.
Just yesterday, I was sitting on the floor doing some Lego things with Ashton, and I told Debbie, I said, you might have to help me get up.
Yo estaba ayer con mi hijo, estaba haciendo unos Legos, y tuve que decirle algo más que necesitaba ayuda para levantarme.
We started talking about the things that we feel now that we used to not feel. You all understand the story.
Y si empezamos a hablar de las cosas que sentimos, todos ustedes van a entender.
I guess here's the point. You know, when you're a college or a high school graduate, you don't think about being old, but it's coming.
Pero cuando, lo real es que cuando te gradúas de la escuela o de la universidad, tú no piensas acerca de serte viejo.
One day you're going to be old.
Un día vas a estarte viejo.
You say, no, I'm not doing it. Well, I said that too.
Y vas a decir, no, yo no voy a hacer eso.
Well, it's not working so well for me.
Mucho trabajo para mí.
It's going to, listen, life's going to change. You're going to have to deal with things that you don't have to deal with now.
Entonces, la vida va a cambiar y vas a tener que lidiar con cosas que no quieres lidiar.
Well, that's part of the maturing process.
De entrenamiento.
One day you're going to have to take care of your parents.
Algún día vas a tener que tomar cuidado de tus padres.
And many of you have had to do that. You know what I'm talking
y
about.
Algunos de ustedes tienen que lidiar con eso.
It's not an easy task.
No es fácil.
But it's part of God's plan.
Pero es parte del plan de Dios.
And I like to think of it as because that's how God is getting us to be with Him. He's getting us to get to heaven through our age.
Pero es del modo que Dios nos lleva así, de vuelta a Él, por medio de envejecer.
You know, it's so important for those of us who are getting older to impart the wisdom on these younger people on a regular basis. They need that.
Es muy importante para nosotros que somos mayores compartir la palabra de Dios con los más jóvenes.
In fact, in Titus chapter 2, we're given this incredible instruction beginning in verse 2. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, and love and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to wine, teaching what is good. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now that's not all just about women, because the men are to learn some of the similar things.
Entonces, Petito 2 dice, los hombres mayores deben ser moderados, dignos, sensatos, sanos en la fe, en el amor, en la perseverancia. Las mujeres mayores también deben de ser reverentes en su comportamiento, no chismosas, maliciosas, ni esclavizadas a mucho vino, enseñando lo que es bueno, porque para que puedan animar a los jóvenes a amar a sus maridos, a amar a sus hijos, a ser sensatos, puros, trabajadores en casa, amables, sujetos a sus propios maridos para que la palabra de Dios no sea deshonrada. Pero esto no es solo para las mujeres. Los hombres están empezando a hacer las mismas cosas.
I guess what I'm saying is that don't be afraid to take on the wisdom of the older people.
Lo que estoy diciendo es no tengas miedo de tomar sabiduría de los personas mayores.
I mean, look at what our world is doing. Our culture especially is moving older people out further and further and further.
lo que nuestra sociedad está haciendo está empezando a mover a la gente mayor cada vez más lejos y más lejos.
And the great temptation of Satan is that young is the only thing that's important.
Y la tentación grande que viene es de pensar que ser joven es la única cosa importante.
Be as young as you can, as long as you can.
Sé tan joven como puedas por tanto como puedas.
And I'm not saying we should sit around and eat chips and cookies all the time, although I like doing that.
Y no digo de que debemos sentarnos y comer chips y galletas, aunque se siente muy bien.
But listen to what the Lord says in Proverbs: a gray head is a crown of glory.
Pero eso no es lo que la Biblia dice. Proverbios 16 dice: una cabeza gris es una corona de gloria.
But look how the Lord qualifies this.
Mira cómo el Señor.
It is found in the way of righteousness.
Se encuentra en el camino de la justicia.
In other words, God is saying two things: there's a gray head that's not righteous. But the gray head that has the wisdom is the one that has lived righteously. That's what we're to do, is to seek out those that have the gray hair of righteousness. Those are the people that have walked with God a lot of years and lived through lots of experiences with God.
Estas son las personas que han vivido en el camino de Dios por muchos años.
So don't fight the years that are going to go by fast. Enjoy them.
Entonces no pelees con los años que van a pasar muy rápido. Disfrútalos.
I try to remind myself that every day, even though I don't feel the same way, I try to enjoy the things God's giving me.
Y yo me tengo que acordar de esto, de agradecer por lo que Dios me ha dado.
And so you can get to the end of your days and say, you know what, that was a great ride.
Para que puedas llegar al final de tus días y decir, ¿sabes qué?
All right, here's number 10.
Es el número 10.
And this is the one we've been looking for.
Y es el que hemos estado buscando.
Grace blots out all the failures of our past.
Gracia borra todos los fracasos de nuestro pasado.
Listen, you need to listen, you need to hear that as a believer, you're going to fail.
Debes escuchar esto, como un creyente vas a fallar.
And there are going to be some times where you're going to fail really miserably.
Y van a haber tiempos donde vas a fallar muy miserablemente.
And it's going to be in those darkest times when you're going to be tempted to leave everything that we were just talking about through these other points.
Y en estos tiempos oscuros cuando te vas a sentir más tentado a dejarlo todo atrás.
But listen, God's grace is the medicine for the failures.
Pero escucha, la gracia de Dios es la medicina para todos estos fallos.
All the things that you're going to fail through are going to be what God uses to get you to understand His grace much better.
Todos esos fallos lo que Dios va a usar para que entienda su gracia mucho mejor.
You remember when Paul was asking God to remove this thorn in his flesh, whatever it was.
Cuando Pablo le pidió a Dios que le quitara la espina de la carne, lo que sea.
God had one response for him.
Dios tuvo una respuesta para él.
My grace is sufficient for you.
Mi gracia es suficiente para ti.
In other words, that's all you need.
En todo caso, es todo lo que necesitas.
I'm not going to take away the problem, whatever it was.
No voy a tomar el problema y dejarlo desaparecer.
But I will help you through it.
Pero te ayudaré con él.
I'll walk with you through it.
Voy a caminar contigo a través de él.
Again, the temptations are going to be just leave God, leave everything else, leave family even, start all over, go somewhere else. But God is saying no. My grace will work with you all the way through your problems. And Paul had gotten to a place in his life where he began to understand that. He needed God's grace. And that's why he said in verse 10, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Entonces, en el verso 10 dice, por lo tanto, estoy contento con las debilidades, con insultos, con angustias, con persecuciones, dificultades, por el amor de Cristo, porque cuando soy débil, entonces soy fuerte.
The point is, don't waste your life going for all the things that you want in your life if it's outside of what God wants for you.
Entonces el punto es, no desperdicie los próximos años de tu vida buscando que, algo que Dios no quiere para ti.
Go for life, but just depend on His grace to get you through everything.
Ve por tu vida, pero depende de Dios, por la gracia de Dios para guiarte.
And I can promise you, at this point in your life, you don't really know what that means.
Y te prometo que si en este punto de tu vida no sabes qué significa eso.
But one day you will, and you're going to be able to agree with Paul. And you're going to agree that grace is everything you need for your job, for your home, for your family, for your children. Everything.
Todo.
All right, and finally, number 11.
Últimamente, número 11.
He wants to be your God.
Él quiere ser tu Dios.
He wants to be your God.
Él quiere ser tu Dios.
Isn't that exciting that he didn't just demand to be your God, but he wants to be your God? You know, so many people think that God is just a power-hungry, chauvinistic kind of woman-beater, arrogant to the core. You know, I mean, really, they think God that way. If you talk to the world, they'll tell you that kind of thing if they're honest. But it's so ridiculous.
Mucha gente mira a Dios y se lo imagina como esta persona que quiere todo el poder, que golpea mujeres, que es un gran engreído. Pero las cuestiones no son así.
If we go back to our women friend at the memorial service last week.
Si vamos de vuelta a la mujer este lunes este en el servicio memorativo.
I guess I was kind of shocked that a person would really want to be offended that there is a God who loves them.
Entonces me sorprendió de que alguien pudiera querer estar ofendido que hay un Dios que te ama.
I mean, doesn't that just kind of swirl in your head a little bit and you kind of go, what?
¿Acaso no se mueve en tu cabeza y es como qué?
I mean, she just obviously didn't understand God at all.
Ella obviamente simplemente no entiende a Dios para nada.
But it's so important for you to understand these truths so that you don't become like that.
Entonces, pero es importante que tú recuerdes esas verdades para que no termines así.
You realize that Scripture says that He pursued you.
La Biblia dice que Él te sigue a ti.
He came for you.
Él vino por ti.
Remember, Scripture says He came to rescue you.
En la Biblia dice, Él vino a rescatarte.
That's a God that wants you.
Ese es un Dios que te quiere.
That's a God that wants to be your God.
Un Dios que quiere ser tu Dios.
Beloved, don't forget these things because they're so critical.
No olvides esas cosas porque son muy importantes.
Don't ever be tempted to think you're second class.
No seas tentado a creer que eres de segunda.
Or you have no value, which is what Satan wants to teach you.
O que no tienes ningún valor, que es lo que Satanás quiere.
Listen, you know what you are? You are priceless.
¿Sabes lo que eres? Eres sin precio.
Every one of you who claims the name of Christ is priceless to Him.
Cada uno que ustedes que llaman Señor su Dios no tienen precio.
But here's the thing, even those who don't claim the name of Christ, they're priceless to Him.
Incluso aquellos que no mandan el nombre del Señor.
And how do we know that?
¿Cómo sabemos esto?
Because He came to save the world.
Porque Dios vino a salvar al mundo.
Right? John 3:16.
Juan 3:16.
You're priceless to Him and you have infinite, eternal worth and value.
No tienes precio porque eres completamente invaluable para Él.
Shouldn't be so hard to serve Him, should it?
No debería ser muy difícil servirle.
If He's really a God like that.
Y si él realmente es un Dios así.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your great goodness and Your mercy to us today. We thank You for Your love and Your kindness. We thank You for the words that we've heard here today from You. We thank You, Lord, for these young men and women who are entering into a very new phase of life, entering into a world that is very unstable in many ways, especially spiritually, into a world where they're being taught that it's all up to them. If they want to get success, it's up to them. If they want to have things, it's up to them. Lord, we know that we are to work hand in hand with You. That's not the point. But we understand from Your word that You are a loving, gracious Father who has our best interest at heart. And I pray that as these young graduates begin to start their journey outside of high school or college, that they will take these things to heart. And many more things we could have shared this morning, but they would take these things to heart and really apply them into their internal being. And really begin their life journey with You in a way that they've not had before. Up to this point, most of them have been at home and riding the coattails of their parents. But now You're pushing them out of the nest, so to speak, and causing them to have to depend on You and Your grace. And so, Lord, we would ask that in their minds and hearts, as a church family, that they would never deny You, in public or in private, that they would never leave the church as an active member, that they would express their lives with their gifts and their talents that you've given them, that they would acknowledge everything is from you, that they would remember that they have nothing to worry about, that they would remember that work is honorable, and that growing old is a blessing. Lord, help them to remember these things as they enter into this time. And may we as a church now walk behind them, so to speak, encouraging them all along the way, imparting the wisdom that you've given to each of us in our various places in life, so that they may be the people that you really want them to be in all of their fullness, expressing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone that they meet and every place that they go. Lord, thank you for our brother who translated for us this morning and his giftedness. Thank you for our Hispanic family that's with us. We pray your blessings on Jose and Anna and Ernesto as they've been on this weekend. And Lord, thank you for our time together, as it's a precious, precious time for us to just worship you. And so as we close out, may we do just that, have hearts of worship as we sing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.